Ready.
Just in the middle of the field, 45, 50. Green grass in front of him, leaving Lions in his wake.
I am Jeff Joniak.
Blitz is on. Down he goes. Husker.
What was it like playing for Coach Ditka?
I don't want to answer any questions like that.
61 yards. A Sunday stroll for Justin Fields.
No way.
Now, Bears Etc. brought to you by Miller Lite with the voices of the Bears, Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer.
It's business season in the National Football League. This is dollars and cents. Extensions, re-signing, free agent tampering opening next Monday, all while preparations for the late April draft continue. We tackle it all here on Bears Etc. I'm the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, my broadcast partner, Super Bowl winning Bears guard Tom Thayer. This is episode number 58, and we have no shortage of topics and never enough time to get on top of it all. And our special guest joining us after one grinding week in Indianapolis, as per always, the very, very busy Stacey Dales from NFL Network, their outstanding NFL reporter, has been there, I believe, for a decade now. When I say she works hard, I observe this every combine. But, Tom, you're not there to put eyes on it. You're only watching the end result. But the work that goes in is impressive, and we're going to get into that today as we break things down and also talk about the Chicago Bears. But first of all, Tom, how are you feeling? And welcome in, Stacey, will you?
Oh, I'm feeling good. I'm welcome in, Stacey. It's great to see you. I did watch you all weekend on the NFL Combine, and I became aware that you would be a tight end if you did play in the NFL. You know, it must be your versatility, because you look at what's required out of the tight end position nowadays, from the H-back to the fullback to the online tight end, short yardage and goal line. You must be one heck of an athlete, because I know you like to set screens, and blocking is not setting a screen. You got to get some movement when you block.
Yeah, I think I would go tight end, because it's kind of weird, Tom. My actual favorite position group is the O-lineman, so you're in that category. And the reason I love the O-lineman is because I think they get all lumped together, but there's such unique specialty parts to every single one of those five spots on the offensive line. And if one guy doesn't do his job, then everything fails and falls apart. And so I love those guys. Plus, they're super smart, and they tell me things that a lot of other players don't, and teach me things. But I love tight ends, because they actually get to catch the football and block too. So they kind of have that little hybrid in the middle, in between thing. And yeah, so those guys are my faves, I guess.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, your brother played in the CFL, correct? What position was he, an offensive lineman?
Yeah, he was a punter, actually.
Oh, so. Okay. Don't tell Tom.
Yeah.
Tom's not a big fan of kickers.
Don't say that. You're giving
me
a bad name.
Yeah. He should have been I don't know. And he should have been a tight end, or, you know, an outside linebacker type guy. He was huge, 6'3", like 240. Mm. But when he was in college, he pulled his biceps or something in his arm. And we grew up playing soccer. So he picked up a ball and started kicking, and they made him a punter. So he was the hardest hitting punter in CFL history.
Hey, so Stace, as hard as I see you work at the NFL Combine, now go back to 1983 when I came out of college. We had three combines. We had one in Tampa, one in Seattle, and one in Detroit. And they were all equally as exhausting as the one combine that you go to. Could you imagine traveling around the country a week apart and doing three different combines with the same group of guys that you saw 1 and 2 weeks ago?
Hell no, and nor would I.
Yeah,
I mean, what we deal with in Indy, if I had to think it would extend beyond what you're talking about coming out of Notre Dame, I'd be like, no way, no shot in hell I'm going to all those. That's why we got pro days, and that's why we have all those breakdowns. But the combine has become a Super Bowl. Like, our coverage on the combine it's so vast and extensive every day. I mean, 6 to 7 hours of live TV every day with Rich and Daniel Jeremiah and our crew. And then all the other parts that go with it, Charles Davis. I mean, the number of players that we prepare for. I mean, I'm not an analyst, but like before the combine, after the Super Bowl, I spend 2 weeks doing a deep dive into at least the top 85 players, pulling all those names from all those different lists. And, you know, it's important, because you got to get to know players like Ben Sinnott, a Kansas State tight end who became my favorite when I met him at the combine because of his personality. He's got like a George Kittle personality and his favorite thing to do is block, but he's, you know, you can put him at running back if you want. Like, so you have to get to know all these guys because at some point I'm going to cover them on a national perspective in the league.
Stacy Dale's our guest here on Bears Etc. And as always, we are sponsored by Miller Lite. Let me give you a behind the scenes for folks because that was my 28th combine. And in the old days, there were maybe 50 reporters and there were no NFL PR departments directing you what to do. You just had free access to every single scout, coach, player walking through. And it was crazy. I mean, I remember interviewing Orlando Pace. And I was thinking, how is this guy getting a stance? You know, he's like monster. But podium four, that's one of probably 10 to 12 at any given moment in 20-minute chunks that these players come through. So you have to pick where you want to go. And I'm sure, Stacy, because you're working with the big names, you try and hit all those number fours at the podium. But it's the biggest group of people, a bunch of... And it's not just journalists anymore. It's podcasters. It's guys who just write or talk or do stuff on the NFL, draft nicks, whatever. It's a very interesting collection of individuals. But, Tom, Stacy's got her notepad. She's feverishly writing. She's wedging her way in. Now, she was an outstanding All-American basketball player at Oklahoma, Boomer Sooner. And so she can work her way around the post a little bit and throw an elbow or two. But... it's feverish work, and then she slides off and tries to get one-on-one with guys. It is a impressive job by you, and I'm not just saying that because I've written you texts, some of which you haven't responded to because you're probably sick of me saying how great a job you do, because you really do, and there's so many great reporters out there, but the way you do it's different. So then you watch the telecast, which I didn't get a great opportunity to. I watched segments. I've taped it. I haven't gone them through. Tom says he's watched each episode three times. You really have this way with these players, these kids. They're kids, right? You really have a way of connecting with these players, Stacy. What do you think the reason is for that? Is it just your outstandingly social nicety that you are? Or what? I mean, you know your stuff, number one. Do you think they connect in that regard?
Well, I'm Canadian, so I think that's part of it. I don't know. I honestly, so my approach, and you guys, we've known each other for years, and thank you for saying that. I do see your text, and if I didn't respond, I apologize. I can't stand it when people don't respond to mine, so I'm going to improve that if I didn't.
I'm no better, believe me.
We talk, though, in person, and I appreciate it because it is a grind, and you got to be prepared before you go in, and then you got to just jump in, but I'm not entitled to anything, so that's the difference. I don't think because of anything I've accomplished or anything I've done earns me the right or affords me the right just to get access to anything. You got to work for it. You got to plan for it and be grateful when it happens and when it doesn't, maybe next time. So when I approach players, I approach them with respect. I have done my homework on them and I give them that because they deserve it. And that goes for you guys, my colleagues, and my friends and any coaches I cover in the National Football League. I do my due diligence and I always go in without an entitlement. And I think that mindset of humility allows me to connect with people at a different level. And I'm grateful for those moments. Like I don't take it for granted for a second.
Stace, you're an athlete by background. When you go out there and you see a combine of four or future football players, because of your background in athletics, does it give you a chance to look at something, recognize something, notice something, pay attention to something that because of your past experience helps you?
Absolutely. I think that's a huge part of it, Tom. You know when people have that it factor with what they do. And so like when you're at a podium like Terrion Arnold and you've talked to people about him, the cornerback out of Bama, and then you get the opportunity to speak with this guy, right? He's got the it factor. It's just, there's something special there. You can feel it. And I think that comes from my days. I mean, you know, when you play with somebody like Shamiqua Holdsclaw, like you have to come to a different level of a standard and expectation. And so I think that in the NFL as well, you're around all of these incredible, The NFL is, it's like pro sports are incredible. I mean, Tom, you played, you won a Super Bowl. There's something special about being around on the, just take layman's terms of all 11 on a football field or all 22. Like, you can't play in this league if you're not extraordinary. So you just, you have that mindset, but then you can pick out the guys that are really extraordinary. And now you've got something special. And so I think, you know, my days playing at every level and being an all-star professionally and being a team captain on all my teams, I think you can kind of learn how each part works on a team and how all the, those personalities come together and then pull them out of people, bring out the goodness of people, you know? So that I kind of have a little bit of an advantage that way, because that's what I feel like I'm able to do with these players.
Watching this combine specifically, and again, I've watched every combine every year since I've been in and out of football. Just, I enjoy watching it. I really caught my attention this year because I saw some dynamic athletes in every single position, in more than one in a lot of positions. And I don't know if it's something they're being more professionally prepared for the combine, or is this uniquely enough a great group of guys that is going to set the 1983 or one of the other standards that come into a draft and change the league for a few years?
Yeah, I think you're right on, Tom. I think this is an extraordinary offensive draft. Like, the linemen, when I was on the field Sunday watching these linemen, and I talked to GMs around the league, offensive line coaches, because, you know, it's just such great access when you're there. They're just salivating. Like, this group of tackles, I think we're going to see an unprecedented number of tackles get drafted in the first round. I mean, the number that consistently I got back was 8.
Wow.
But, you know, pick your poison with these guys. Like, and then there's going to be a wave that go later on too. As far as it's so deep, the center position, it's so good. Graham Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, like, these guys are technicians, but they're maulers. And I cannot wait to see how these linemen impact their teams next year. Like, when I think about the Bears, you know, maybe they're one starter away from really starting to put together that line, right? I love their bookends. And think about how good Darnell Wright's going to be this year after playing basically the entirety of his rookie season and fighting through a couple things. But, man, they got a good one there. Like, so I love the linemen. The receivers are, I mean, Xavier Worthy ran a 4-2-1. So I'm going to dinner. I'm going to Elmo's on Sunday night, and I bump into a couple of Chiefs coaches, and they grab me. They're like, hey, Stace, whatever. And we started talking because, like, Tyreek Hill, it's a real thing. Like, what are they going to do with their – they want him so badly. They want Xavier – like, just coaches are going to say that to you, right? But that young man just bumped himself, shot himself right up into the first round of the NFL draft based upon his 40. He didn't even do drill work. So, like, these receivers are fast. Romo Odunze is phenomenal to be around. Malik Nabers, like, this group is outstanding. And then you've got 6 quarterbacks, and how are they going to fall on the board? And, you know, understanding Caleb Williams is probably going to be a Chicago Bear.
Tastes like Miller time. Go to MillerLite.com/BearsPod to find delivery options near you. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. Let me pick up the baton there, because your interviews with Worthy, who was out of breath on the 4-2-2, and then it was dropped to a 4-2-1 and passed the record, and the place blew up. And then Romo Odunze staying and repeatedly trying to master that 3-cone. I mean, take me there. I've never seen that before.
I'm glad you brought this up, because I've never seen it. So I'm all the way down at the other end, and I'm about to log my final report for the day. So everybody has finished, and I look down, and I'm always kind of surveying the field. You know, I'm the eyes and ears for so many fans that they want to know what's happening. They want to know these guys. And I look down, and I see Rome, and what is he doing? He's like huddled over because he's winded on his shorts. Kind of like if, you know, you're down on your knees, you've just done something. It's really intense. And I looked at my crew and I said, what is Rome still doing drill work for? And I was, you know, I was working with one of my colleagues, Jamie was there, and she goes, oh. So then I got in my producer's ear and I said, guys, I'm seeing this player who's going to be probably a top 10 pick down doing the three cone drill. What the hell is happening? Why is he doing this? So I said, let's go. So I was like, let's go into production mode. So I walked the end of the field and I watched him. And he was pissed. He was like, he was trying to hit below a 6-6. He kept hitting hitting the cone. So you have to start over. You're not allowed to hit the cone with your foot or anything. And he's trying to get below a 6-6. And he landed on a 6-8 by the end of it. And they had to stop him. Like the combine had ended. And wow. So they said, dude, like, you know, the guys that do the testing, like every group, they're like, dude, you're going to have to do it on your pro day. What great job. You know, you did a really good job today, man. So I talked to him. He's like, he wanted to be faster. He wanted to be on it. This is going to be a top 10 pick, models his game after Davante Adams and his route running, and is going to be really special at the next level. That's what whatever team gets him, they're going to get that type of a work ethic.
Tom, you contrast that to players that elect not to participate for whatever the reasons are, and there are many, and that's happened over the years. It seems to be growing, and in many of the combine activities, including bench press across the board, outside of the 40 and a vertical jump, maybe a broad jump, some of those drills, it's not 100% participation as much as we would all like it. And I get it. It's not for everybody for a variety of different reasons, and maybe the representation that is in their ear. How do you feel about it?
Well, when I came out in 1983, John Elway didn't do a lot of stuff at any of the combines. And so he was kind of, you know, got the behind the scenes whispering of all the other players, being envious of the fact that he's got so much confidence in himself, but also going, wow, I can't believe this guy is not going to do anything because, you know, this is what we're here for. So you have some past experiences, but, you know, times have changed. NIL money has changed the thinking process a lot of players. But, you know, States, when you talk about these guys who did well or didn't do so well, are there any pro days that you're super interested in because you need to see more from somebody, or you need to see a little improvement, or you just want to see what they're going to offer you on their college site?
Yeah, I mean, everybody who didn't do anything at the combine, right? Caleb Williams didn't participate. Obviously, Drake May didn't participate. Michael Penix, did he participate? Yeah, I loved him, actually. Jaden Daniels didn't participate.
Jaden Daniels,
Michael,
yeah.
Michael Penix was my favorite quarterback. Just generally overarching my takeaways, I loved him.
The Ohio State receiver.
Marvin Harrison was a complete no-show. No-show. Didn't even do his media availability. I want to hear from him. I want to know kind of what went into that decision.
And are you going to any?
I don't. We're actually covering fewer this year, guys, just because of our budget, I'm guessing. But we'll probably be at the quarterbacks. We'll be at all of the top quarterbacks, I'm guessing. But yeah, I want to be at their pro days. I want to see them work. Some of the injured players, I definitely want to see, or at least be able to talk to on a different level, that are going to be top picks, or maybe that got hurt and are going to come back. Wiggins, like, he's the guy who ran super fast for the D-backs out of Clemson, and see if he's healthy by his pro day. So they're important days. I mean, they're really important. And you know, the whole Caleb Williams thing, not doing the medical, bothered a lot of people. It didn't bother me. And my takeaway was that he wanted to do medicals for the teams that are interested in drafting him. And I actually don't have a problem with that.
Well, what were your overall impressions of him, talking to him and watching him at the podium? I thought he was very charismatic.
Yeah, extremely charismatic, extremely confident. I would say he was very purposeful in his public address. He actually said, I wanted to talk to you guys to kind of put to bed some of the noise that's out there. I thought he answered questions without any reaction, like as far as emotional, you know, when people said, talk about him as a competitor, or why he, you know, got so emotional after a loss. Like, part of me, and you can chime in on this, is part of me doesn't understand why people were so upset that he was so upset after he lost. Like, when you put everything into this thing as a former athlete, I lost games where I was in the locker room sobbing. Like, it's like you, it's your whole life. You know, and is it, are we saving lives? No, we're not emergency doctors, but when you put your whole life into something and it doesn't work out, it's really hard. And whether you're on teams that lose a lot, which I've been on, or teams that win a lot, which is joyous, you go through a lot as an athlete or a coach or somebody who's been in the trenches. And if you've never been a competitor like that, you just don't know what it's like. So I get it. I don't know, Tom, like, you've been there. Like, I don't get, like, people think, you know, criticizing the guy for being emotional after he doesn't perform well.
You know, one thing people don't take into account, the fact that he won a Heisman Trophy his junior year. Now, every time that they suffer a loss, it lessens his chances of winning that Heisman Trophy again his senior year, which has an enormous impact because it's daily conversation. And for me, going back 5 years after the Super Bowl, when we lost the NFC Championship game at home to the San Francisco 49ers, it still haunts me. So it's not something that's ever going to leave the player, you and your basketball experience, and me and my football experience. It's something it's always going to haunt you. And one thing I was interested in, so last year when I would watch the combine, and I would see Bryce Young stand around the other quarterback candidates, and he looked obviously small to me, and just something that's always kind of impacted my evaluation of him. When you see Caleb stand around the other quarterback, 6'1 and 1/8, I think Jeff was telling me, does he look the size? Did anything strike you about that?
Just extremely athletic, even in his street clothes. I mean, I'm not concerned about his size at all. He's got a broad build up top. He's got a nice lower base. You know, I'm 6 feet, and I know what you're talking about with Bryce, because I went over and talked to him while we were just kind of on the field watching stuff at the combine last year. And he is a little bit smaller. Even his frame is a little bit smaller. Whereas you're standing with CJ Stroud, and I'm like, that guy's going to be able to take a few hits. You know what I mean? Right. Anthony Richardson was a freak, like, unlike anything I've seen. And by the way, he's doing really well. I was talking to Chris Ballard. He's throwing again. He looks outstanding. I'm not concerned about Caleb Williams. He's 6'1". I think he gets a great offensive line. He can play off schedule so well. I did talk to Lincoln Riley about him, because obviously my Oklahoma ties to Lincoln. We have the same birthday. little factoid.
There you
for
go.
You. I talked to him this past couple days ago, just so I could speak intelligently about Caleb, and I just kind of asked him what he's loved about coaching him over the years. And obviously he reminded me he's still really young. So many of these guys lost time from the COVID season, and then they transitioned out of Oklahoma together. They went to California, USC. One thing he said to me that I really appreciate and I believe is he is fixated on his weaknesses. And he is such a natural, Lincoln told me, such a natural confidence about himself, that because of that natural confidence, which is just this innate it thing, right? He's aware more so of his weaknesses than his strengths. The strengths just happen. The weaknesses, you know, I remember Ryan Poles telling me at the combine when we were interviewing him on camera over 6 minutes, like, we talked about his assessment and evaluation in Kansas City when he was there for 13 years, but the period of time when they evaluated Patrick Mahomes and how they fell in love with him. And the football was always there. And he said there were some holes. There were some holes. And he had a whole year with Alex Smith at quarterback to kind of, they started seeing these flashes in practice. But, my point is there are holes in all of these quarterbacks. And I think if he does go to the Bears, he's going into a good situation with a good defense, a very experienced offensive coordinator in Shade Waldron, who's won a couple of Super Bowls, who's worked with Bill Belichick, Sean McVay, Pete Carroll, some of the greats he's worked with. And Caleb, for Lincoln to tell me that he's fixated on improving his weaknesses, I think that's pretty telling about his desire to be a winner.
For all your journeys ahead, go with a partner who's been on your team from the beginning, the one members and communities have trusted for over 85 years. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, always standing by you, with you, for you, through it all. Remaining moments with Stacy Dales here on Bears Etc. podcast number 58. So I know you're Midwest based, so you hit a lot of the division opponents and so forth. What have you come to love about living in Chicago? A member of the Chicago Sky and the WNBA at the end of your pro basketball career, but the jumping off point to other areas around the country. But do you love living here, and do you love covering the Bears?
Yeah, I made this my home. Of course I love living here. This is my place. I mean, this is where, you know, I'm originally from Canada. I went to Oklahoma, I went to DC, then down to Florida and over to LA and California. And I ultimately came back to Chicago. I originally came here because I played here, but this is just blue collar with a little finesse, with dynamite restauranting and a sports town that is crazy about whether they're Sox, their Sox side or Cubs side or their Bears. I love the debate, right? Like, you got half this city that's like, why the hell aren't we bringing Justin Fields back? And half of them like, let's go get Caleb Williams, because of the passion and the depth of that passion in here and being a sports fan. So I love it. I travel all over the place, but this is absolutely my home.
Stace, I grew up with Allie Quigley and her family, who had great success with Chicago Sky. I would not let you get off this podcast without talking about Caitlin Clark.
Oh, yeah. My.
What her success is going to be. And, you know, I've loved watching her the last couple of years, because I think she's one of the most talented athletes of any sport around the country. So what is your future feelings of for her in the WNBA?
Shoot, I hope she would go on my team. I hope she's my teammate, because she's a good teammate, number one. The thing that to me she does in watching her play is, you know, we talked earlier about that it factor. Well, obviously she has it, but I mean, she has a really nice change of speed on the court, which is, it's the difference when you go to the pros as far as basketball is concerned. If you understand crafty basketball and how to change your speed and walk into cuts and then burst out of cuts and then just create separation with your foot skill, with your foot movement and your foot skills and your footwork, you can do so much. It doesn't matter who you are. She just has it. Like, her ability to separate just to shoot the ball is really special. So she's going to be, she's just plug in, play, and be a star at the next level, I think. And I mean, she passed the great Pistol Pete.
Yep.
One of my favorite players growing up, Pistol Pete Maravich. Same. My gosh.
Give me a highlight reel of Pete Maravich.
Right.
And I'm
the
like,
dribbling.
Candy shop.
The dribbling and the passing. Yeah. Which you also, if I'm not mistaken, were a outstanding passer as a, were you a wing, right?
I was like a point guard, 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
I was a big guard at that time, but now these kids are bigger and, she's awesome. She's going to be great. I don't, you know, people have asked me, is she the best of all time? I know I don't go there. You know, I played against too many greats, that Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi and Lisa Leslie and Cheryl Swoops and Tamika Catchings. And I mean, the list goes on. I've played against so many incredible players that you can't, generationally, the players change, right? Like,
yep.
People want to have the debate that my bobbleheads, Kobe and MJ, they're the best of their generations.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can do the same thing in football. Who are you going to compare Lawrence Taylor to?
Or, yeah, any number of guys, any number of guys. Hey, so you're an expert at NFL, you're an expert at basketball, and you were the first female at ESPN to work as an in-studio men's basketball analyst. There's a lot of women doing that right now. Do you still have a love of the game of basketball? Do you ever think, maybe one day I'll go back and analyze that as well? Or do you just love football and the way it's structured and what you're doing in it?
I'm obsessed with the NFL. I love it.
Okay.
Like, it's an obsession for me. I love it. I need a break right now. I'm tired.
Yeah,
but,
no
like,
question.
Every time I see you guys, right, when training camp or whatever, games, like, to stand and talk shop with Tom Thayer, doesn't get, like, no, and get little nuggets about things where I learn stuff. And Every time I'm covering the league, it's like that. I love hoops. March Madness is coming up. I can't wait to watch it as a fan. I get invested in it. Playing it, there's no greater experience than being in the NCAA tournament. It's incredible. But like, I love football. I love the league. And it's just so cool when you're at the combine and you see coaches that you've just covered over the season and had great talks on Sundays. I love football Sunday. Because everybody's so relaxed, right? By the time you get to Sunday, everybody's like, are they nervous? No, the game plan's in. They're just ready to get the show on the road. And those are when I have my best conversations with coaches. And they're relaxed and the game plan's set and let's go roll. So, and then you get invested too in the winning and losing. Like I was at the NFC Championship when Tom brought up that loss 5 years after the Super Bowl, right? It's gut-wrenching. You never forget it. Like I was in the locker room. I covered the NFC Championship Lions and Niners, and to see the tears in those guys' eyes, you get tears in yours for them. It's to get all the way 18 game season and to get all the way to that pinnacle and to not win, it's devastating. So I get invested with them.
One last thing, we'll let you go because the Bears on this day that we're taping this podcast announced the strategic appointment of Karen Murphy to the newly created position of Executive VP of Stadium Development and Chief Operating Officer. Karen's been with the Bears a long time, a quarter of a century in the organization, has a lot of experience, leadership for this, what they call an elevated role in this Women's History Month and a major focus by the Bears. A lot of women in that building in all departments, not to mention on the field in the coaching department and operations and whatnot. How does that resonate with you, a woman in sports?
It's incredible. I mean, they just added my girl Jen to the staff. I think she's the assistant running backs coach. Yeah. Jen King. And like, I'm just so proud when I see that. And then the more and more I'm around the league and I walk into the combine and I see all these female coaches and staff members, you know, it makes me proud. It's important. And, you know, Callie Brown's a friend of mine. She's one of the coaches over there in Cleveland. She's a hell of a coach. Like, and it's not just the coaches, it's the medical staffs. It's now we're getting front office. You know, I've talked to a couple of GMs and I'm like, I would love to be in personnel. And they're like, oh, you could do it. You've been doing this thing for so long. Come do it with us. And I just think there's an open-mindedness to it now, and there should be. Like, this is my 15th year covering the NFL. Like, I'm invested, you know? I'm proud. I love the relationships that I have, and I do my homework to make sure I represent, just like I know all the other women do. We work a little bit harder just to make sure that we are ready and that we do it the right way.
Well, you certainly do. I think I speak for Tom on this one. You are always, always well-informed and ready to roll. Your questions are targeted and very important questions that you ask in these news conferences or in these one-on-ones. You do a heck of a job. You got a unique way of connecting with people. So congratulations on a great career. We can't wait to see you more on NFL Network. Stacey, appreciate you. Thank you.
You guys rock. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Stace.
All right, Stacey Dales, can't throw her enough compliments, Tom. Just outstanding. All right, some news. Franchise tag deadline day on Tuesday, so Jalen Johnson gets the non-exclusive tag, so he can still negotiate with teams. If they're going to sign him, the Bears have a chance to match it. Otherwise, they get two first-round picks. Now, that's not going to happen. No team's giving up two first-round picks, but it gives the Bears some time, about 4.5 months, to continue to work on getting a deal that seemed to be headed in the right direction when we heard from General Manager Ryan Poles of the Scouting Combine, Tommy.
Yeah, Jalen Johnson has played an important role in the defensive backfield success of this team and how the defense played in the second half of the season. And as you mentioned, Ryan Poles gave him a vote of confidence that he hoped something would get done. And I think all the Bears fans wants to see Jalen back in the uniform and get the deal done for him.
Right now, for what it's like, a 19.8 amount of money for 1 year. Game day snacking calls for Good Foods chunky guacamole made with Hass avocados, tomatoes, onions, cilantro, and a squeeze of lime juice. It's the perfect snack to watch while the Bears win. Score some today at your local grocery store. Game day is guac day. And Vizzy Hard Seltzer, flavors for every vibe. Celebrate responsibly. Molson Coors Beverage Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Ryan Bates comes aboard, Tom, in 2022. He was targeted by General Manager Ryan Poles just months into the job and was given a a restricted free agent tender offer sheet, the contract he ultimately is playing under. Right now with Buffalo, the Bears give up their fifth round pick this year to get a guy who's had only 17 starts in his career, but a utility swing man at guard and center. Could be competing for that starting center job as well. A big guy with athleticism. What are your impressions?
Versatility to the interior of the offensive line. And I think it's a really important role that you have to find somebody for Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach, to have become a guy that's reliable on game day activation, whether you're a starter or you're in a backup role and you can play multiple positions. He's got an understanding of offense up in Buffalo that's been run efficiently. He can play in the most inclimate up conditions. So I think he is going to fill a really important role here, like either as a starter or a multiple position backup.
When it's time to tackle game day deals, then go with the grocer who's been a part of Chicago since 1899, Jewel Osco, the official grocery store of the Chicago Bears. A lot's going to happen between now and next Monday, Tom, free agency. I do believe the Bears will be active to a point. Obviously, they want to be a draft-driven ball club, but there are holes that can be filled. You think about the number of safeties, for example, a position that they are interested in, are growing by the minute. The guys are not getting re-signed, released, cap cuts, veterans of all ages, all styles. You may want to head that direction in free agency and settle for other things in the draft because there's just a lot. There's a lot out there right now.
Well, you can't close your eyes to the fact that rookie safeties can start in the NFL. And we've been a part of the Bears long enough now that we've seen some great safeties come in here and start their rookie year, whether it be Mark Carrier, Mike Brown, Eddie Jackson, whomever it may be. So I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Like you said, though, there's some talented veterans that are going to be looking for work.
All right, Tom, that's going to wrap us up. Great job as always. We thank Stacy Dales. We thank you for listening, of course, and thank you, Tom. Please subscribe now on the Chicago Bears official app, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Again, we're sponsored by Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. Have a good day, everybody. I'm Jeff Joniak for Tom Thayer and Stacy Dales. Thanks for listening and bear down.